Welcome to a brand new 12-week series on the Special Ed Strategist podcast, where we take the guesswork out of special education. I'm Wendy Taylor, certified educational therapist, IEP coach, and your go-to guide through the IEP maze. And I'm thrilled to co-host this series with the brilliant Jackie Beach, founder of Rally Family Support and expert in early childhood and family advocacy. Each week, we're going to answer the real questions parents are asking, from how do I even start the IEP process to what if school says no. We're cutting through the confusion and offering straight talk, real strategies, and supportive guidance. We've gathered the most frequently asked questions from parents, just like you, and we're combining our expertise, stories, and proven tools to give you what you need most: clarity, confidence, and direction. Think of this series like your special education GPS. You're the hero of the story, and we're your co-pilots. Because when you're empowered with the right information, you stop feeling overwhelmed. Start leading your child's education journey with intention. Let's get started week by week, question by question, strategy by strategy. You've got this and we've got you. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Special Ed Strategist podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I'm here with Jackie Beach, an insightful parent coach who brings both expertise and heart to the conversation. Together, we're unpacking the real questions parents are asking as they navigate special education. Today, we're talking about what makes a goal realistic. Who decides how far your kiddo should be pushed? We're going to unpack this common and complicated question as parents so that you can help navigate better outcomes. If you're ever worried about your kiddo's goals, whether they're too easy or too hard, or felt unsure if they're being stretched enough, you're in the right place. So let's take the guesswork out of goal setting. Welcome back, and thank you for joining me, Jackie.
The guesswork out of goal setting. Get after it, Wendy.
Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so goal setting. All right, so I have two things that I think are super important to make sure I reiterate here in the beginning. One is that I do think you should lean on and allow yourself to trust your school team when it comes to the writing of goals and objectives. I think that there's great value in going in educated and knowing how to advocate for yourself, but also understanding that you perhaps should rely on the expertise of a special educator or a school team, because this is what they do all the time. That being said, I think something that you want to look for, the second thing I want to make sure that we really hit on, is you want these goals to be connected to the strengths and weaknesses of your child in connection to not just academics, but like functional items and social areas. So I think if you can find a way to have a collaborative relationship with your school team, where you can still be considered an expert on your child, providing real life data, because you are the expert on your child, but know that they are the experts on the school experience, because that's where they spend their time. Getting to know your child is in the school experience. And then think about strengths and weaknesses in those three areas. It is academic, but it's also the functional part of it, of a school day, and the social part of a school day. And I think if you can have those two things be your guiding lights, you'll be able to write really relevant goals.
Yeah. And I always tell parents, think bell to bell, right? Yeah. So their experience from when they get off the bus or car, however they're getting transported to school, from the moment they walk into that building, thinking through hallways, sensory transitions, is there a locker? What does that process look like? Navigating the lunchroom, navigating the landscape of recess and PE and specials, thinking through all of those elements. So not, again, I think that's so important that you brought up, in terms of it's not all about academics. So functioning, mm-hmm. communication, sensory, all of that, and thinking of what is working really well and what needs support. And mm-hmm. I think it's also important to really think about a goal that's realistic as being ambitious, right? Something that we want to do a push towards, but achievable within mm-hmm. that 1-year IEP cycle. Or if you feel like we need to break this down and see what we can achieve, so that you're keeping that just right balance, right? So what is really going to help kind of move my kiddo forward, but not overwhelm them that they want to shut down? And how do we achieve that? Which is a magical question that we could do a whole podcast on as well in terms of that. But also keeping in mind that realistic does not mean low expectations, right? So understanding that data, understanding the present levels of academic achievement and functional performance. And so that we make sure that that is updated, which then comes back to something that we've talked about before, is that parent input statement to,
right,
to come along with that functional level or present levels, so that it's not vague and outdated, and then you're going to have unrealistic or not challenging enough goals.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, the eye for data, like everything you're doing is, what information do you want to make sure you're paying attention to, documenting, and going to be able to use to keep the ball going forward, to keep your momentum. You know, I think an action item that feels super important to make sure people listening have in their back pocket is that when you get an IEP, which again, lean on your school team's area of expertise, but when you look at the document, look at the goals, and then look at the objectives. And a great question, a great action item to ask yourself, and then eventually your school team, or anyone that you want to help you prepare for the IEP meetings, which is what we do for a living, if you can look at the goal and then really truly have a grasp and a sound understanding of how those goals or those objectives are scaffolded to meet the goal. That's a very important part of this. First of all, you're participating by understanding and knowing and asking questions and maybe tightening things up that need to be tightened. You're also perhaps going to give more information to adjust or reword the goal to make it more realistic or relevant to your student, your child, but it also creates a really great space for collaboration. That's the tone we're trying to always create. So I think, you know, if you can get your draft IEP, or if you look at last year's IEP in preparation for the next meeting, look and learn why these objectives are scaffolded to make this goal something meaningful, and then you'll be able to understand how it was measured and see if it was really achieved.
Yeah. And I think it does make you that collaborative player in there, and looking at, even as from a parent perspective, looking at data, drawing from data from your observations, from progress reports, from input from the school, so that we can all put this together. And, you know, adding that key insight on how a kiddo performs at home and in the community is really important to have that element in there to make it truly an individualized education plan or program. And really, as a parent, asking yourselves, what skills will help my kiddo thrive, not just in school, but in life? So again, thinking that forward thinking of, where do I see my kid in 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, so that you can then pull it back to the parent input statement, the present levels, that those needs are then going to drive goals, which then drive services. So it really goes in that kind of systematic order at a table and asking that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I mean, perfection, like how you described it, is it's such a helpful way to continue to think about it for someone who wants to use this information. You know, I think making things very specific, but very measurable, understanding when it's going to be done and how it's going to be done, it's connected to all the things we're talking about. It's how does it apply to your kid? why is this something that supports the IEP and where we're trying to go now in the future? And this is where I think parents underestimate themselves a little bit. You can both rely and collaborate with your school team and also trust yourself. It doesn't need to be this confrontational. You will have to be strong, and there's going to be times where you're going to have to say, this is important to me and I want to advocate for my child, and you're going to have to demonstrate strength. But I don't think things ever need to become quite as confrontational as they sometimes can be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think kind of just another little nugget, right? So goals are only useful if you can track them as a parent and as a professional, right? And so if you can't measure it, or you don't know how progress will be reported, those are conversations to be had. And then also thinking about, a good goal is going to offer kind of a growth zone,
yeah,
not necessarily a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that it's, again, kind of that just right. If I'm comfortable in doing it, I'm not necessarily growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need something that's going to just raise the bar enough that, again, that I'm not going to shut down. But right. I'm going to grow with the proper supports. And I think having that conversation, you mentioned the word scaffolding in there, that it's like, okay, this could be our growth goal, but what are the little micro steps we can take to kind of push out of that little comfort zone enough to not shut down, but to really get those synapses connecting, and that we can grow as a learner.
For sure. I mean, ambitious but achievable. I mean, it's such a super important conversation because I think it also allows parents to see the work that's being done by school teams, and it also allows the school team to take in input from a parent that they might be noticing at home when schoolwork is being done or when they're transitioning throughout the day. So those little small steps in the scaffolding of objectives to the goal really does, I mean, it's kind of where most of the conversation should take place as far as parents asking for understanding and hoping to support the school team.
As a parent, what kind of data should they expect to see kind of when the team is developing a goal?
Okay, so that's a really good question. That's also going to depend on age and student and what area is being supported. But I think what you should be hoping to see when you're going to the table and we're writing these goals, you should be hoping to see things that have demonstrated that there's already some mastery in the area you're talking about, or data proving that this is something that is an area of weakness. I also think it would be really helpful for there to be conversation about the child's, again, the age is a big part of this, but I always think in terms of like self-concept. I think if there's ways to show that the child is feeling confident and competent with some of the things that they've been learning and that they are also motivated to keep going, I think data, you know, it's also interconnected. I think if you have a kid who is receiving services for speech and they're also receiving special education, are the teams working together to hit like WH questions? So data around how the team is working together. I think those are all really helpful things that'll help actually formulate relevant goals. I think if you want to bring stuff or items, information from your home life, I think, you know, you can talk about if it takes your kid 4 hours to do homework, and it's not supposed to take anybody 4 hours to do any homework. I think that that's information you want to bring to the table because something is, there's a disconnect there. So I think all of those things are small, quick examples of ways that we can narrow the focus.
And I think pulling that in is kind of to hit home about receiving a draft and reviewing a draft prior to your IEP. So then as a parent, you can look at a goal and start to think, okay, this goal lacks some clarity or it's too ambitious, yeah. You know, and that way, and as you as a parent start to develop that collaborative relationship with your team, you can then respectfully kind of raise a concern about that goal to open the door to have a conversation of, okay, is this, you know, too ambitious? Is this too easy? You know, and that way you can kind of go through thinking about, you know, when we talk about goals and how they're written in terms of SMART goals. So thinking about, are they specific? Are they measurable? Are they achievable? Are they relevant? Are they time bound? So that you as a parent can kind of have that as a framework to then start asking questions, writing those questions down and bringing them with you.
Right, right. And that's a tool that's everywhere right now. So I feel like if you can find ways and resources to make that something that there's tons of writing about SMART, there's tons of ways people are using it, there's tons of visuals, there's tons of magnets that can go on fridges. There's all sorts of things around that nifty way of parents and school teams being empowered. So I think if you can find a way to apply that specifically to your situation while still relying on the school team to help you trust and benefit from the IEP, you know, there's a lot of really amazing members of school teams who do amazing work that their expertise should be definitely utilized.
Let's see if we can wrap this up. Are there any suggestions that you have to help parents navigate, maybe it's a tension between wanting their child pushed, but also wanting to protect them from frustration? Or is there some insights or tips that you can help with parents for partnering with educators so that you can really co-create a goal that's reflective to that whole child?
Yeah, these are all very good questions. So number one, I think going to the meeting and setting the tone of, I am here to collaborate. I am here to work. I am here to be an active member, a meaningful member, but I know that there's so much that this school team is going to be able to do that I cannot. So naming it and just create the tone. Be the captain of that ship. The other thing that you can do is, I think there is discomfort and growth. Growing can be hard. And I think that when kids are in a space where they have school refusal and they're frustrated and it is wrecking their relationship with school and destroying their self-concept, you are allowed to bring that up and talk about it with your team to see if things need to be readjusted to provide more support. I'm not saying that every IEP is going to get every single thing right. It is important that parents provide input so the school team understands the kids' lived experience, because that's an important part of this. But I do think that you should expect some discomfort when it comes to this entire process. It's your kid's under a microscope. Everybody is looking at all these different things, and you know, it's nerve-wracking. So I think just to get comfortable with the idea that growing can be difficult. I feel like if you can document everything that you can, create notes for yourself, have an active understanding of baseline IEP language. I think if you can bring in outside support, if possible, if you have that luxury, do that. I think make sure you trust your testing, whether it's from private or school. Do not be afraid to ask questions. That is something that I cannot stress enough. There's such empowerment in needing to know more. And all of those things, I believe, will send you down your personal trajectory.
Such a beautiful final word. There we go. Alrighty. Well, that wraps up week 2 of asking and answering parent questions. Thank you for joining us. Please like, follow, and share, and come back for our next question that we have coming up next week. Thanks again.
Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Learning Essentials and our Cracking the Code to Special Education Eligibility course. Empower your advocacy, erase confusion, and unlock the services your kiddo deserves. Learn more at learningessentialsedu.com.